Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Tana Oli, Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hits från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I'm glad you have. As are our advertisers. Remember, folks, support them. The internet is a trickle-down economy. So that means, you know, they send checks to YouTube and filters down to us eventually. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. You know, my wife likes shoes. What can I say? Anyway, my weird dog likes to eat. No, and the lights like to be on. We have a fantastic band tonight. I am so impressed with this band. The fine folks over at Curtain Call Records sent me over their EPK. You know, all you civilians out there not in the biz, that means electronic press kit. And if you're in a new band and don't have one, I suggest you get one together. Watch some YouTube videos or something. Figure it out because it's very important to have. So I got it. And when we get the, it's just a press kit done digitally. And when we get those in, you know, I want to check out the band. So, you know, I'm looking at their pages and their socials and watching videos on YouTube of them. I was blown away. I'm like, this is fantastic. Look, I mean, amazing. You could rob a bank to this music, kiss a girl, do something interesting is all I'm saying. This is an interesting band.
Yes.
And the name of the band is Lost Circus. And gentlemen, you guys are in the Nashville area. You guys are out of Nashville.
Boone, Tennessee. Nashville, yes.
Nice. I was telling Steve before we came on, it's one of my favorite areas. Every time I roll in there about a couple times a year for business, and every time I land and you get out of the airport and you're waiting to get where you're going, I look at the horizon, and for the past, 15 years, it's this... I see the same thing happening, and that's a hustle bustle of activity. There's cranes, there's people in bobcats moving earth. Stuff is happening. And what that tells me is there's money being made there because there's definitely money being spent there.
Absolutely, yeah, 100%.
I always have a good time. I always have a good time in Nashville. People are nice. It's got the hustle bustle of the East Coast, but everybody's nice. You know what I mean? They're nice. I'm in South Florida. They're kind of got that East Coast attitude a little bit, you know, and it takes some getting used to. Right. You know, when you're at the grocery store and you're looking to get something and somebody reaches over your shoulder to get it before you? It's hard to get used to that. That doesn't happen in Nashville. No, it doesn't. I grew up in Detroit. It wouldn't happen there either. It's a good way to get shot. You know, it's not good. It's crazy.
Yeah, Nashville's great. Come to Nashville. Come see a show. Come see 20 shows. 30 shows. There's 160,000 bands here.
Yeah. And
every style you can think of.
I was just going to say, it's one of those hubs. And it's weird because all art has its hubs. And certain art, like in my world with painting, New York used to be the place. L.A. to a lesser extent. But it was definitely New York. But with the rise of the internet, you can be anywhere. You Council Bluffs, Nebraska, or North Dakota, wherever that Council Bluffs is. It doesn't matter. But with music, that's not always the case. The hubs are important because, you know, Steve or Chad here can be working on a piece of music, and they're like, I've got to have a steel guitar in here, or I've got to have a French horn, you know, or a clarinet, anything. Doesn't matter.
Nope.
And the producer has a, you know, has numbers, knows people. Okay, give me half hour.
Yeah.
We'll get the best French hornist in here to do their thing.
It really is true. We're lucky enough on the Uninvited video to get Cassandra Sotos to play for us. And the producer on that, Saul Zonana, said, hey, we got to have some real strings on this, because we tried the synth string. He's an incredible musician in his own right. So he put on some synths and stuff like that, and he asked his wife, he said, what do you think of this? And she said, that sounds good. Because what do you mean it sounds good? She said, it doesn't feel real. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, okay. So just like that, he called up someone he knew and got Cassandra involved. She came over and in less than 3 hours laid down, I think it was 45 tracks of
Jesus. Violin. Like a whole orchestra with one person.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So
that is amazing.
Yeah. Don't have to go far.
Well, first off, you guys are Lost Circus. You guys are a rock band. You know what I mean? You're not Depeche Mode or something. You don't need a bunch of synthy sounding. Synths have their place. I'm not throwing, as my wife would say, she's a little younger than me, but she's like, don't throw shade at people. I'm like,
right.
Latree? What are you talking about?
I love every kind of music. You can't, I mean.
Yeah, you know.
I had to choose. I mean, I'm choosing heavy metal from the 80s as my favorite, but I mean, I love country music. Yeah, the old country. I don't really care too much for the new stuff, but I'm a huge Diamond Rio fan. You know, I love those guys.
Steve, you and me, man, we're on the same pathway.
Men at Work. I like the yacht rock, like my brother Chad does. You know, I'm gonna go see Toto, Christopher Cross, and Men at Work. They're coming to Nashville. I'm going to that concert. You know, I've seen Megadeth. You know,
My father-in-law saw Christopher Cross. I don't want to ruin anything, so I'm not going to tell you his. I said, well, how was it? And he goes, it wasn't Ozzy Osbourne Bark at the Moon tour. I'm like, yeah, it's Christopher Cross. I wouldn't expect it.
Right.
But he does have that one banger. I can't remember. I think it's called The Border or something, where he's on the run from the feds and guns. And you're listening to it. You're like, this could be a gangster rap. This is amazing. This is. And it's, and then you hear Michael McDonald in the background. You're like, he's involved too?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, what's happening? Now, that yacht rock, my dad, man, he used to listen to that stuff. I didn't like it at the time. At the time, because my parents were listening to it. You know what I mean? And
I didn't either at the time.
You know, I'm like, I don't want to hear Abba. We were doing a family trip. My dad's like, here, let me put some music. No, I don't want to hear Abba. No, I don't, you know.
I must be a little bit older, because everything we listened to in the car was George Jones and Tammy Wynette.
No, that was one of the things you talked about.
Yeah, it was country. I'm more of the Western
You know, one
side.
Of the things that got me into
saying,
a lot
Chad?
Of the yacht rock and some of the other stuff, you know, outside of the metal and rock genre was my mom. I mean, she had a pretty eclectic taste too. And then when I was growing up, she actually played in bands and did some just bar band stuff, you know, and she was a singer. And so I listened to all kinds of stuff back then.
Wow.
It was cool to.
That's awesome. I listen to it now because it reminds me of my dad, you know, who's passed on. And it just, you know, what the hell was I listening to earlier? It just came on random. Well, what it is. I'm embarrassed to say, because I'm cool, man. I'm still cool. I still know DJs and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And my weird dog, her favorite DJ is DJ Delilah on the Love Song channel on the radio. And I guess she likes her soothing voice. Yeah, that. And it's just divorced men calling in, telling their sad story, you know. And,
I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. She loves it though, and so when I need her to calm down at night, I'll put it on.
Cat Stevens.
What did I hear the other day? Year of the Cat or something like that. And I'm sitting here, I'm tapping my toe to it. I'm going, they're going to come take my cool card away. What happened? I'm not cool, ladies and gentlemen. Maybe years ago, when Steve was jamming out to, you know, metal in the 80s, we all were.
Yeah.
We lived for Headbangers Ball. That was the.
I grew up. I mean, I started when that started was when I was 100% into it. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I got to meet Randy Rackman last year. Was it last year?
Oh, how cool is that? Is awesome. Yeah. When I got out of college, I went to school in Boston, and I said, I need to move to the opposite of Boston. I'm sick of snow and ice. I need a beach somewhere. And I looked at a map, and San Diego seemed about the furthest I could get from Boston, you know, within the continental U.S. Right. So I moved to San Diego and didn't know anybody. And when I, you know, I got out there, and that was great. And it was total opposite, but it was a kind of a, and I'm not putting San Diego's beautiful. It's great. Don't send me emails, people. But for a youngster, it's kind of slow. It's kind of boring. I used to call it Cincinnati with the beach. There wasn't much happening in San Diego. And that's kind of its charm I see now. But I would go up to L.A. It's a three-hour drive, you know, a three-, four-hour drive. You go up to L.A. That's what was going on. And I went up to L.A. for the first time. I wanted hot women in spandex and limousine. I went right to Sunset and Vine, babe. I was ready for Headbangers Ball. Yeah, it was 1 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Not much was going on. And I talked to some people there, and I'm like, where's all the women? Where's The Rock? What? And they're like, Jamie, it's 1995, dude. That was 10 years ago. And yeah. There's a guy playing at a coffee shop down here on a stool with an acoustic guitar. He's pretty good. I'm like, a coffee shop? That's not what I want to drink. Champagne in the back of a limo with a bunch of women. And they're like, well, I don't want to tell you. It's different. It's and it was like that. And then about 2000 maybe, things started to shift. And then you had rock, not like the 80s, not like the 80s at all. But at least you had like the Killers and guitar-driven pop music really start to bubble up again. And I'm seeing, I moved to Florida 10 years ago, and Miami was all rap music, electronic dance music, and it was definitely a I'm cool, look at me vibe. Everybody went out, sucked in their cheeks, you know, they rented a car or something, and they, you know, paid $75 cover charges and thought they were great. It's changing again because the cool, I think they finally figured out it's hard to be cooler than a rock star. You know what I mean? The last time I was at a club, I asked my wife, we were sitting at the table, and I said, hey, how'd that guy get in? He's wearing like jeans. You can't get in here with jeans. And she's like, don't you know who this is? And who? I'll tell you who it was. I can't remember their name. They're from Detroit. Greta Van Fleet or Fleet or something. They sound like Led Zeppelin. But it was one of the guys from that band. And he was allowed to thumb his nose at the dress code of the club. You know what I mean? He was, they're like, he's cool. He gets to come in, you know? And so I'm just saying the trend change again. And I think, well, you guys play all over the place. You guys are doing great. You know what I mean? I don't think people are going, oh, it's a rock band. It's too loud. I'm not going to, you guys are doing fantastic.
It seems to be going well. We would like to play a lot more places, and, you know, the whole traveling and stuff. And we're all full-time employees and have to make a living and all that stuff too. But we've done pretty well. We could do a lot more, and we've got some stuff. We've got a lot of stuff coming up, so it's ticking that way.
Now, do they have? I know in the country western world, they have what's it called there in Nashville? The Blue Robin or something like that. They had these songwriter round tables and stuff like that. Do they have rock versions of that? Where
not really.
No, not really. It doesn't pay. Nashville doesn't pay unless you're downtown and one of the nightly musicians that get up on stage and play. I mean, there's every kind of music, so you can make money if you do that. And a lot of people make a pretty good, well, a decent living doing that downtown. As far as like the Bluebird Cafe is what you was thinking of for the
Bluebird,
country. Yeah, I've done it a couple times. It's great. People come from all over the world just to see a show that maybe you can fit 50 people in the place. It's so tiny, but it's one of the coolest places to play, I think. And there's no, I don't think there's a rock version of that anywhere. I have never heard of it.
No, I haven't either. That's weird that you mentioned this. The people I know in the music world, and it's only a couple that I really know, outside of just passing acquaintance, in the Nashville area, in that neck of the woods, they're not in bands. Well, they're hired guns, and or studio musicians. There's a ton of those. Yep. And I know a gal who's a songwriter, and people are like, "Well, great, everybody's a song. What are you talking?" I'm like, "Well, she has a nice Lexus she drives. People, and they don't know how the business works and how they sell songs and people buy them and this and that." But yeah, everybody's. It's almost like an LA hustle, but people are nice and laid back.
It can be cutthroat too. Once you get in, I left the whole thing because it was changing. I was doing songwriters nights, writing country songs, and the landscape changed. I tried to change with it. I did it about 10 years, but I couldn't quit my day job to do it.
I gotcha. And that's the goal. I mentor a couple kids in in the art world. I don't teach them how to paint. I'm like, you got to practice. You got to learn your craft. But I do mentor them on their art business. I'm like, this is how, because the goal, nobody wants a boss. I tell them, my wife's my boss, roof over my head is my boss. It's right. Don't down employment. Health insurance is nice to have at a certain point. It's very important. But you guys are doing great. One of the things I was very impressed with, not only your tracks, but your music videos as well. It is first off, before we get into this, Uninvited, let's talk about Uninvited, because I didn't see that coming. That kind of hit me out of nowhere. I'm like, wait, I know this.
Yeah, that was the point. We thought Brian, guitar player, Brian Bloomer, was the one that initially came up with that idea for that song. We'd had a couple other ones, and we did the cover of the Mike and Mechanic song that Chad suggested, which I thought it turned out well also. The Uninvited one, we just wanted to do something totally different, and we got together with Saul, who produced it, Banana, and he knocked it out of the ballpark for us.
Yes.
Oh yeah, you guys have it on your YouTube
page.
Yeah,
I did the
I'm remembering right, the Silent Running, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that was one of those tracks. Nice. I'm gonna blast that out, because I'm gonna check it out and then I'll blast it out. That when I was a kid and I was watching MTV, all these youngsters today think MTV was just always cool. And it was about twice an hour.
Yeah.
In between it being cool, you had to sit through a lot of Chicago and a lot of Air Supply. You know what I mean? There was a lot of that.
Yeah.
And we would wait. I was like, come on, man. It's got to come on. Yeah, I was like a guy in Vegas at a slot machine. I'm like, come on. Put some Iron Maiden on. That's all I'm asking. Flight of Icarus. Come on. Just throw something my way. Okay, Turbo Lover, Judas, thank you. I will sit through.
I'll take it, yeah.
Another 45 minutes of Air Supply, I guess. Or Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse. How many times did they play that? You could set your watch by it.
Yeah. Then we got a lot of Guns N' Roses. Well, they got huge, 88 or whatever, 89.
Oh, it changed. Red Hot Chili Peppers, same time. Right. Yeah. And Aerosmith had come back. They were still doing their weird ballads, but which none of us, that took everybody by surprise. There was a lot of bands like that. Foreigner. I remember everybody's older brother I knew got me into Foreigner, and Hot Blooded and all that kind of 70s stuff. And then like Waiting for a Girl Like You dropped. And I'm just like, what is this? Went to see them in concert. There were a lot of girls at that concert, I will say. It drew them in.
Right. Gotta have the ballads.
I guess that was the point, a lot of couple skates at the skate rink with that song. No, I'm telling you, you had to. Yeah, and it is what it is. I'm not throwing shade at anybody. I'm just remembering.
Oh, yeah.
I'm remembering, but that's cool. You guys are reworking, and I like that. I liked that it says, I don't know, I saw somewhere on Uninvited, it doesn't say cover, it says reworking.
Yeah, our mindset really on the covers, as far as that goes, it was the same way with Silent Running. You know, it's like
the video.
Okay, people do covers. That's great, and it's awesome. And you know, you want to cover a song that you love, or you obviously wouldn't bother if you didn't like the song. But our mindset on it is like, if we're gonna do a song by somebody else, we need to at least put a little bit of Lost Circus on it. You know, we don't need to just rehash and retrack the same tracks over again. People have done that 100 times. So while keeping the roots and keeping the, you know, the core of the song intact, because obviously it was a great song, but we wanted to just kind of, you know, add our thoughts and process too. So.
It's amazing. I like an interesting reworking of a project or a track. I remember, man, it must have been about 10 or 15 years ago, somebody gave me a CD from some Canadian band called Luther Wright and the Wrongs. I'm like, man, that's an outlaw country name if I've ever heard one, you know? But he didn't do outlaw country. He did bluegrass. And it was a total reworking of Pink Floyd's The Wall, track by track.
Oh, wow.
Bluegrass style. And you know, the schoolmaster was now a school marm, you know, and they all had heavy twang, and it was you never saw it coming. It was good. And I was like, wow. But I didn't get that same feel when I did when I first watched the video for Uninvited, which we're gonna play here in a second, folks. I was just really, really impressed. Number one, at the work that went into it. You guys are fantastic musicians.
Thank you.
And it drew me in. It drew me. It wasn't like I was at home putting posters of her up on my wall or anything. Like, you know, I knew of the song. You know what I mean? I don't think I ever bought it, but I heard it on the radio and stuff enough.
Thanks.
Your guys' version I'd go out and buy. Even if I didn't know you, you know what I mean? Because it's just cool. The video is blown away by it. Obviously, there's a sci-fi fan in the band. And, or I don't know, maybe you guys hired somebody. And
Brian came up with the concept of the story of the AI taking, you know, instead of being a love story between two people, it was a kind of a love story between AI and humans and the mismatch and all that stuff. And we were blessed to get Calico Cooper on board from Visto Blanco to direct it. And her husband, Jed, flew in and they did all of it.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they did. She directed the whole thing. He shot the whole thing and we storyboarded and, you know, we had Zoom meetings about it and everything. It took a while to get it together. And we spent a lot of money on that video.
Oh, I imagine so. That I was thinking of a nice way to say that.
Yeah.
It comes through that way. You know what I mean? I'm like, this is
everyone
a professional video. You know, this is something.
The 3.5 minute credit is really worth it. It's
definitely.
A lot of people aren't going to watch it, but it's worth watching.
And that was,
there's so many people who
solid
us.
Worked. Oh, it was two solid days of work
to have all those people.
That was 2 solid days of work
amazing.
On that. For
Let's
sure.
play it. Oh, go ahead. Say again. Wow.
Yeah.
Man,
it took a lot more to edit it and put it together.
Oh, I imagine so.
The actual physical work we did downtown Nashville, we worked in the studios, Skyway Studios. For the internal shots and then all of the external stuff toward the end were downtown. I mean, you can see the Batman building in the background. We were right downtown. It was good.
Now,
it was fun. It was just a lot.
Skyway, if memory serves, and I could be, I'm probably am wrong on this, but But I think, is that one of those places where they have all the different sets, like in the building, you know what I mean? And you're like, oh, you need a ship set? Right down here.
They have sound rooms and video walls. Yeah. They have one
Broken
of
Shadows.
The first two videos that we did for whatever the names of our songs are. Broken Shadows, my goodness. We did those there, and we used the big LED video wall, which is... We got a really good deal on that, too, just because people love us personally, because we're such good humans. Anyway.
Well, so see, we, kids...
They do... Oh. They shoot wrestling there and everything. I mean, Hailstorm.
Oh, yeah. Anything. Commercial work? Any of that type of stuff?
Yeah, all of it. Commercials, TV, car commercials, everything, yeah.
Any kids out there with a new band or whatever... That's what I'm talking about. That's one of the benefits of being someplace like Nashville, because they have the stuff like that set up, you know? And I'm just saying, if you're in Oklahoma, you might not find that.
Right. You know? And everybody's here, so everybody's using it.
Yeah. But you don't... I don't know. I mean, it's cool. How I know about it, somebody was doing something space-themed, and I'm like, where the hell did you... get a space set, you know, inside a spaceship, and I'm like, oh, that was room 14, whatever. And I think it was Skyways, is what, if memory serves. I could be all wrong on that, but
it probably is. The scene in Uninvited, in the control room was there. That was one of the control rooms there. We had some of the videos that we pre-recorded, the pre-roll, I guess they call it, was up on the screen during the video. So yeah.
We don't have anything cool like that here. If a big space comes available, and a lot have Marshall size or something like that, Targets and stuff, they close down. And then I'll tell you, do you know who rents them? Spirit Halloween or these bin stores where they get Amazon returns by the pallet and they put them out in the bins. And
well, the $5
Monday is $10 day, and then Tuesday is $8 day, you know. Mm-hmm. And you got all these elderly people in there digging through that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. We needed another backup air conditioner, and that's the first place we went the other day. We went to everywhere. We went to all these places, all these places. Couldn't find a deal and wound up finding one online that we ordered. Now it's hot, but there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's coming. It'll be here Thursday, so we're...
Oh, good.
We're excited, you know. Our big air conditioner went out. Again, kids, when you get older, that you got these things happen in life. It sucks. It sucks a lot. Owning your house, nobody ever tells you that. And it never ends. That's the other secret. Let's play Uninvited because I want people to know how cool this is. This is Lost Circus, everybody. Uninvited. Check it out.
Oh, Thank you.
And we're back, folks. That was it. Uninvited. How about I'm telling you, it's fantastic. Let me ask you, Uninvited, this is, I know the video is out and everything. The single is also available for people to purchase, right? It's out on all the platforms and everything.
Yeah.
Everyone you can think of. I don't think we missed one. All of the standards, you know, Amazon Music, iTunes, all of it.
Yeah. Well, remember, kids, when you buy, I was going to make a bad joke, but the reality is people always ask me, they're like, you had these cool bands on, where should I buy their music? And I always tell them, at a show. I have yet to be to a rock show where there isn't some cutie patootie sitting there at the merch table selling stuff. Very, very important. Matter of fact, as a painter, I stole that idea from my rock friends. Yep, there you go. See, and it's all signed. It's signed, ladies and gentlemen.
We've got records, LPs, all the way from Germany.
Nice. Well, you know, the cool thing about something signed like that and shot, if you're ever broke and you happen to be in Las Vegas, you just roll down to the Pawn Stars and you pull, and you're like, yeah, but it's signed. They'll know a cat. They'll call them in. You guys ever go to a pawn shop?
Oh, yeah.
I've lived life. I have gone to many over the year, especially when I was younger.
It's pretty
good. I guess my stuff stinks because nobody... They never called an expert in. Look at that. Hot sauce. Rock and roll hot sauce.
Yeah, we have our own hot sauce.
You need that.
Burns in, burns going out.
Now, that's in the merch store on the website, right? And we have the website flipping around on your screen right now.
Yeah.
Oh, Tree of Links. Here it is.
Tree of Links. That's Chad's idea, a little play on the link tree. Oh, I didn't say that on
Look at all this. Yeah, this is a nice one. This is a nice one.
Yeah, Chad is, whether he likes it or not, our computer guy. We've taken advantage of him this whole time because none of us know how to do this crap.
Oh, I hear you. That's what I tell people all the time. I'm like, people like, you're really good at social. I'm like, no, my wife's really good at it. I'm not. You know something? This is really good right here. I'm looking at your shop page. This is fantastic merch. Man, I like that one with the clown. I really like your guys' logo. And I see that with a lot of newer bands, younger bands, especially in the rock world. I'm like, man, your logo, you need to tone it down a little bit. You ain't Queen, you know? You need to pull it back a little bit. And they're like, what are you talking about? We have to have the dragon and the full moon and the castle and the alligator and the moat,
right?
Maybe the deer on the mountainside and the back. I'm like, I said, when you reduce that down to a Zippo lighter or a cool shot glass, it's just going to be a blob. Nobody's going to, no, you need something that looks good on a shirt that people can see. Cause that's a advertisement, you know, somebody, and it's cool. You guys probably get this all the time. You'll see somebody wearing your shirt or whatever. You know what I mean? That's a cool.
That's a great
feeling. I dig that feeling, but I imagine you guys, you're probably used to it.
It's nice to see in and around Nashville. It's even nicer to see when we're in Daytona or someplace like that.
Then
someone will get thirsty and they'll just grab their cup and, you know, like you are, you should probably have one of these cups.
I should. I've got this silly one my wife got me from. She got me when I first started. I've been doing the show since 2013, but we've only been video doing it. She finally talked me into her and a bunch of our friends. They're like, Joe Rogan does a video podcast. I'm like, well, I'm not Joe Rogan, and I don't have the weed that Joe Rogan does to talk to somebody for 3 hours, you know? They're like, yeah, Jamie, right. You know, you could talk to somebody without them. They're right, I could. But I was trying to keep it, you know, around 45 minutes or so. That never works. But my wife bought me this coffee cup. She's got to get to one of your guys's because this thing is too big. It's a 55-gallon drum of a coffee cup. And, yeah, it's got a skull on it. But I knew the show was over when I'd run out of coffee in it. It takes half the coffee pot to fill it.
Funny.
And it's just, it's too much. It sits up on top of the coffee pot now. It's too much. But especially these nighttime shows. I'll be in bed, like just staring at the ceiling, about 10:30 or so, going, I shouldn't have had that giant cup of coffee. I'm going to get an hour's sleep tonight. Anyway, you guys have great merch, and it's a good logo. It's a great logo, and it looks good on the merch, you know?
We purchased the right for the font. So
wow.
Yeah. So
see, that's what I'm saying, man. This stuff, when you do it right, and that's another good reason, is when you're, before you quit your day job, you might just need that to purchase font.
Yeah, the font. I mean, and like we've trade
going to Skyways,
trademarked our
I'm
name.
Sure that wasn't cheap.
So you know, there's not any conflict there.
In
the future,
directors and stuff.
You know, the font itself. Like I said, we also, the clown that you saw on the merch there. We bought the stock rights for Adobe stock for that, so we're legal there. You know, so that is definitely something that, you know, those that might want to look into doing something bigger than just playing your local bars and stuff, which again, that's perfectly fine if that's what you want to do. But if you're looking to go further, you definitely have to think about these things, because they can come back and bite you in the butt later. I mean, you being an artist, you know about the copyright.
Absolutely. And oh, absolutely. I don't know. Somebody just won the jackpot. Steve,
what is going on? Sorry about that.
It's the legal department going,
right?
Get off the font.
I can't
they
make
don't
it
worry about that, because it's all handled. No, you're right. You people think I just paint a painting and then it goes on our merch. No, we got to send that off and send a check and get it licensed. And, you know, it's very true. I'll tell you guys, in my world, the reason we do that and jump through those hoops is because invariably I'll paint a painting. Like this one isn't on merch yet. In about a month it will be, because it takes a minute for all that to happen. But once it is out there posted, it'll be on a shower curtain on Amazon from some company in China or someplace. Well, maybe not now, but from somewhere. And I'm not getting any of that money. You know what I mean? And it's a drag. I had a friend that was in a band, an 80s band, kind of a synth pop band. And he was telling me they were real big in Mexico. And he went and they did a show, did a giant show, like 6,000-7,000 people or something like that. And he goes, we did a meet and greet before because we have all these fans there. And we were signing their stuff, and everything they brought to the table for us to sign was bootlegged. He goes, it's hard because you're signing it. You want to keep the fan happy. You're happy that they're still listening to your stuff 30 years later. But at the same time, you're thinking, that's 15 cents I'll never see. That's another quarter I'll never see. And times 1,000, you know what I mean? It adds up.
That's what Dave Mustaine and Junior from Megadeth were saying on some of the tours. They go down to Brazil, and they're driving to the place they're going to play, and they look outside, and there's 16,000 tents selling Megadeth merchandise, and Dave Ellison said, yeah, we're not going to see a cent of that. It's all bootleg stuff, you know, because you can't, in some countries, when you go play there, you can't bring your own merch. It's just, it's sad.
It's weird. And the music world is always ever changing. It's great that you guys figured that out and are on top of it and handle it the correct way that you should handle it.
We try, yeah.
It's a good lesson. And I tell any young bands, watch. If you want to know how to do something, I don't care what business, music, whatever, watch people that are doing it and doing it well and successfully and take notes. What are they doing, you know?
Yeah.
And how can I apply it to what I'm doing? You know, don't rip them off. Don't copy their font, especially if it's copywritten. That's a battle you won't win or can afford. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
But no, see what people that are doing it the right way are doing it, and then apply that, you know. Take notes, though. Take every indie film, every person I know wants to make an indie movie. I'm like, buy the DVD because they always have the director commentary as part of that DVD. That's a free class on how they made that movie. You know what I mean? Take notes. Learn your craft. It's so important. Because a lot of bands, and some big ones too, had to learn that the hard way. I'm thinking of somebody right now that played a show for 40,000 people, didn't see a dime, you know, because they didn't read contracts and shit back in the day, but still, you know. Yeah, can you imagine? Imagine being in Megadeth and you're riding down the street and seeing all that shit. Before a show?
Before
so you're all pissed off and bummed out before the show.
Yeah.
Jesus. It's crazy. Crazy.
It is, yeah. I guess they get used to it. Still,
I don't know. Take some antacids for the ulcers or something. That would bother me. My wife would be like, I know. It was a 10,000 tenths. We've heard it, Jamie. We've heard it 80 times in the last week. Move on. Thing is, here's what people don't get or maybe have a hard time wrapping their head around. And these guys are exactly the same way as me. We work harder at this than we've ever worked at a job. And we're passionate about it, man. We eat, live, and sleep this stuff, you know? And you have to be. You have to be if you want to do something with it. Takes commitment, you know. I see people complain, oh, I had to work a 10-hour shift. Really? 10 hours? That's all? You know? My 18-hour day the other day was a Tuesday, followed up by a Wednesday, just the same. But yeah, it takes dedication. It takes dedication. You think Chad got that good at the bass just looking at one sitting in the corner? No, he has to pick that up. He's got to play it. Same with Steve. Maybe not the bass, but his vocals.
I'm not playing bass. No, we tried that, the initial setup of the band. If it wasn't chugging E and me singing at the same time, no, it's not going to happen. So I'm glad we found Chad. I'm glad Chad found us.
Well, that's awesome, though, you know. Let me ask you, Steve, with your instrument, your voice, very important, you know, and your look, you know, you can't be eating ding-dongs all day and stuff. I'm a painter. I can look like a toad. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares what I look like. All they care about is what's on the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You are the painting. You were front and center of both the whole band. You got to think about that stuff, you know? You're probably not smoking cigars or stuff 15 times a day.
No, you know? I've actually lost 45 pounds since I started redoing this. So I got up to a little over 300 pounds. It wasn't good.
I gotcha. Well, it's just it's hard to do. You know, it's hard. I'm a chunky monk myself. And man, I tell you, I had this internal thought the other day. I said, man, I got to lose some weight. Or like the mighty Brontosaurus, find a swamp to stand in because doing all this walking is hard, you know. Yeah. Next time I go to Disneyland, I don't want to be riding around on one of them carts, you know. I don't want to. But
I don't run around and jump around on stage. I'm in an Iron Maiden tribute band, and my friend Christian Sines is the we split Dickinson vocals or whatever. There used to be 9 of us in the tribute band anyway, but he is all over the place like a howler monkey, and I'm a little more stoic. I can move around and lift my leg and do stuff every once in a while, but I can't do it anymore. I can't jump around and do that stuff anymore.
Chad, after he goes to the Christopher Cross concert, he's going to say, yeah, I'm a little more Christopher Cross. And we all laugh, but just wait. When you see what I heard, you'll know. Yeah, he apparently doesn't run around.
I kind of.
That always amazes me. And a band, especially a band on tour, because they're doing it every night, man. They're doing it every night. They're usually sleeping in a bus or something. They're not, you know, if they're lucky. It ain't like you're on your Tempur-Pedic. Oh man, I was helping my neighbor the other day. She called me over and she needed something behind her bed. And she goes, "Can you help me move this?" I'm like, "Yeah, it's a bed. How hard could it be?" And it was one of those each side can adjust and lift. You know, she spent that money on that. I didn't realize there was a Volkswagen Beetle under this bed, and I'm trying to move by myself.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that thing was heavy. No, but these guys on tour and they run around, they're doing that all the time. It's
if we were to go out on tour, like a normal tour and do 6-8 months straight, I would have to have some kind of exercise regimen other than doing my day job.
Just to get ready.
Just to get ready to do it every night. I could probably sing it every night, and just the moving around and stuff, because I have bad knees.
Steve, you're like an astronaut. You know, they don't just send people. Oh, I guess they do now. Normally, there's a bunch of, you've got to breathe in that thing and keep the ball.
Yeah. It's a great movie. Always great movie.
Gluing shit to you and stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently you just show up to Bezos' place now. It's like, yeah, just come into the waiting room here. We're sending you to space.
There's a whole lot that goes on, you know, setting up for a show. We went to Daytona, and it was on one side, off the other side of the stage, one band right after another, and it was a good show for us. Man, it's just so much work. You unload in a rush to get off the street. You have to guard your stuff until it's your turn to go on stage, and you run up on stage, and I'm one of the singers that actually helps load and unload the best I can, Chad. Anyway, and it's a lot to it. It's a, you know, it's 3 hours straight just busting your ass, work. You know, most of the gigs we do, we don't have a lot of help. We do have help at times, but there's just five of us.
Yeah,
unloading. We don't have a lot to do to load anymore. We keep it pretty compact. People are kind of impressed how quick we can get up and set up and be ready to play. The drums, I mean, Tom and all of those drums and the mics and stuff, we split it in two, throw it on stage, put it back together, and, you know, just, I don't know how he does it.
Just imagine if you guys were Rush starting out, you know, I'm sure Neil's like, "Well, I need this drum. I know it's from Zaire, Africa. I've got to have it, you know." Yeah. Chill out, Neil. Chill out. Reel it in. No, yeah. It's very true. But the payoff of all that hard work, I was at a party about a month ago, and I was I'm talking to somebody drunk. They obviously, and they're not in the music business. Not that I am. I just hang out with a bunch of musicians. Kind of pick some stuff up here and there. But they were like, "Well, I don't know why the Rolling Stones, I don't know why Mick Jagger is out there. He's 80 some years old." And I'm like, "I'll tell you, you really want to know? He owns islands. He doesn't need to be out there. You know, the light bill will get paid, not a problem.
Yeah.
What he needs, and he's probably looked, and there's no other drug on the planet that comes close, is that feeling of playing live on stage and 50,000 people are singing your song back to you."
Yep.
That's quite, it has to be. I wouldn't know. It has to be, you know.
It is. I mean, it's not 50,000. But I know you look out every time we've ever played, someone in the audience, not just a family member or a close friend, but somebody in the audience is singing along.
Yeah, that you don't know.
Right.
That's the amazing thing, you know. How cool is that? It's so true. I'm kind of, as an art form, I'm jealous of my musician friends in the fact that your music connects so easily. Good example. Any guy my age or younger, that, or maybe older, but any guy of a certain age, not any, a lot of them, though, will say there's been no good music since blah, blah, blah. And the reason they say that is they may not know what song it was. They probably know the band, but they definitely know the type of music that was on the first time they ever kissed a girl. They all know it. And that changed everything. That burned in their brain. And all music after that just isn't the same. Doesn't have that punch. Nobody, and I mean nobody on the planet, out of all the people, I'm sure there's some weirdo in Tibet or something, maybe it doesn't apply to, will tell you what painting was hanging on the wall behind the girl that he kissed for the first time. Nobody cares about that. That doesn't connect. Nobody's sitting around going, man, I really need to go see this type of painting today. I just have to do it. I mean, maybe somebody out there, but not like music, not like a rock song, you know? Come on. You guys got the coolest job in the world.
Can be. It can be, yeah. It's satisfying. It's also frustrating. Satisfying and frustrating at the same time. You know, everything that goes into having that one moment where you're making contact with someone in the crowd is worth it. You know, it might be 99-1, you know, frustration to payoff, but the payoff is always worth way more than the rest of it.
But see, we as fans, we don't see that frustration. We see the finished product. We see the cool video, you know what I mean? The poster or whatever.
Right.
And we're like, but there's a bunch of people. I'm telling you right now, you guys may not know this. You might. I don't know. There's a bunch of guys out there that want to be where you're at. They want to be you. You know what
I mean? You can't. You want to know why? Because you suck. And you're not doing it right. It's a lesson. We were all there at one point.
I got nervous there for a minute. I'm like, Steve is going to come through this thing.
I think a lot of the younger guys, they want everything now. And that's not all of them. That's not all of them at all.
But it's a lot. They want to be famous. I'm like, go rob a bank. There's easier ways to be famous.
They want to cut corners with their songs. And not saying that I'm the best songwriter in the world, but I pay attention to what I want to put out there, what I want to say. I try not to be too cliche. I mean, sometimes it fits and you just do because it fits, but I don't know. I'm not a party song. I think the closest thing to a party song I ever wrote was Scream on the first album. And it's not really a party song, but it's kind of me and my woman are going to do our thing and just leave us alone and let us do it type of. Yeah, it's pretty dirty.
I imagine it's worse in the music, you know?
Hide the meaning of stuff. Make people think, but also enough so that they know what you're talking about.
A little mystery in there.
You know?
You got to.
Yeah.
I think it's these competition shows, personally. You know, I know somebody who was on The Voice. They live in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And she went quite far on it. Quite far. And she's the main manager of a very popular venue there, and that's great. I don't know if her being on The Voice got her the job or not, but that's where she's at today. You know what I mean? Everybody thinks these competition shows are just the shortcut. There are no shortcuts. You have to. Steve and Chad will tell you. I tell these kids, I want to do what you do. I want to paint all day. I'm like, I want to paint all day. Shit, there's emails to answer. There's phone calls to be made. I might get 4 hours of painting today if I'm lucky. But there's a lot of other shit.
Yeah.
And number two, you got to draw for 3 hours a day. That's what you got to do. Put that in you got to practice. That's how you get good at something.
I mean, no matter how good I think we are, because I think the five of us are all talented in our own way, and this band came together. It was remarkable how we came together so quick and everything fit. And then as good as we think we are, we're still a nobody on the scene as far as it goes, because not everybody gets to get that big thing. Do we want to? Yeah, that's what we're shooting for, trying to push our stuff out there to be heard like everybody else. There's different levels of, there's more steps you have to climb. We might be 3 or 4 rungs up the ladder. There's 20 more rungs to go, you know, just. If you don't put the effort in, it's never going to happen. You have to do that. You have to have talent. You have to have.
And everything has to be right, you know, and come together.
Yeah. I mean,
I was talking to an actor friend of mine the other day, and he's a good character actor, been in a ton of stuff. It's IMDb, you got to scroll to see everything, you know. But, and he was telling me, he was like, you know, the thing is, the majority of actors, He goes, I'm not talking Tom Cruise. I'm not talking Leonardo DiCaprio. That's the 1%. He goes, but I can, he told me, he goes, I can tell you the name of 25 actors that you would be like, oh yeah, I love that guy. He's in everything. And that guy made $27,000 last year, you know, sure. Because it, that's how it goes. You know what I mean?
He didn't get a Seinfeld episode that's going to.
Yeah, no.
45 times a day, making some real cash. Yeah.
Exactly. And they at one time, yes, maybe that would have been different, but then lawyers showed up. Guys in suits with ponytails said, oh, no, we got to redo this. Same thing happened with music. Same thing, you know, and people are like, well, why did it change? I'm like, Napster, streaming, the internet. Yes, that all changed.
Absolutely.
It used to be a big record company, you know, even curtain call, something like that would say, okay, guys, we're all going to do real well here. We want you to go in the studio. We're going to pay for the studio time. Just hang out. Put something together over the next couple months. That ain't how it works now. No,
not even close.
Yeah, and when you go in those big studios, you better have your shit as polished as you can because the meter is running. They charge by the second. You know, it's like riding a cab.
Tom Harding, he's been in the business since the early '80s. You know, that's what he does for a living. He's a huge producer. He's got a Grammy. But he took us under his wing and helps us do stuff. We get into these places and we track the drums in the studio. Some of these famous dudes went to Dark Horse Studio for the first album. We recorded 6 tracks at Omni before they tore it down here in Nashville. Some of the bigger, you know, the more popular names of studios and stuff. And it's such an atmosphere. You're never going to get that atmosphere in these new buildings, these old buildings that have been around forever. They ooze out.
Yeah, because. Ronnie Millsap, you know, Johnny Cash and stuff hung out in these places.
Right.
And there's still a little bit of their, you know. First time I went to the Viper Room in L.A., I'm like, Tim Morrison stood on that stage, you know. And I'm not saying I saw a ghost or anything, but I definitely felt a vibe in there. You know what I mean? I'm like, shit has went down here. It's important. I don't know. We had another track. You know, we're sitting here BSing. We got to play the other track. We got to play the other track. Where's my... Now, this is an interesting track because Steve and I were talking about this before he came on camera. I was so impressed with this track. The only video I saw of it on your guys' YouTube page of Not in Our House got played at the hockey game, man. And folks, that's amazing.
Wait till next season. If you follow hockey at all, next season it should be we're hoping it will be a big part of the season next year. So,
my in-laws down here are big Panthers fans, of course. And I'm not saying they're Johnny come latelys. They have been Panthers fans. They've earned their jubilation now. You know, they're almost, I don't want to use the word insufferable, but it's the Panthers are finally doing well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For decades upon decades, they did not.
Right. Yeah. We can do a version for them, too. We can do a version for any team.
But I was telling Steve, yeah. I tell all these young bands that I'm like, you've heard the Final Countdown, you know, by Europe. Write one of those. Try to get an anthem, a sports anthem track, you know?
Yeah.
Very important. I've had... This is, I don't know, episode 1476 or something. I've had a lot of bands on the show. It's the first time that they had a hockey track or an sports anthem track.
Yeah.
I was so impressed by that. Just because I know that just didn't happen. You know what I mean? I imagine with any big organization like that, 15 people got to sign off on that shit. And, you know,
we have the announcer, Paul McCann. Announces on it, and Kyle, the crazy Kyle, the organist, he was in on it too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, we made some friends, you know, got a little help here and there, and
it
worked out for us.
And I know some people out there that don't realize, sometimes go out of your box. It's important. You never know what kind of work will come from that. I remember a couple years ago, I got hired to do paintings of some for a charity of some local sports biggies in the area. This is in San Diego. And I got all kinds of work out of that. All kinds of, suddenly I'm painting sports. And I don't care what I paint. I'll paint a cow's backside if the check clears. You know what I mean? That's what I care about. Suddenly I'm painting sports figures. You know, I'm painting Gordie Howe for some guy in Minnesota or someplace, or Michigan. And, you know, I'm like, great, great. Yeah, it doesn't have to just be rock stars or movie stars or whatever, you know. I painted a giant ant climbing out of the sea, you know. I will paint whatever sells. I don't care. But it's cool. You guys have your sports anthem. That excites me. That excites me. Cool. Let's play it. Here it is, everybody. This is Not in Our House.
Go Preds!
That's right.
Please welcome to the ice, your Nashville Predators!
Gonna make it. This is
our house.
Not gonna take it. You're in
our house.
You'll never make it here in our house. Not in our house.
There's 1 minute remaining in the period.
As soon as the puck drops, Warriors nonstop, fast and steady. You won't be ready. Facing the slap shot, feeling your heart sink. In the vein, just like us in the rink. Fight for the fight. We can do this all night. Board crash, tooth smash, lights go out. It's all your fault. Hear us scream and shout. There is no doubt. Not in our house. Not gonna make it. This is
our house.
Not gonna take it. You're in
our house.
You'll never make it here in. Not gonna take it, you're in
our house.
Not gonna make it here in
our house.
Not gonna take it, you're in
our house.
You'll never make it here in our house. Not in our house.
Your Nashville Predators are on the wall.
Not gonna make it. This is not gonna take it. You're in. You'll never make it here. In. Not gonna take it. This is not gonna make it. You're in. Not gonna take it here. In.
Yeah.
where Mama hides the cookies.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. How about that? How cool is that? New bands out there, that's a goal. That's what I'm telling you.
No.
Yeah, goal. You don't just have to write about how your gal left and is never coming back. You know, sometimes you can write about other stuff. Yeah. Just saying.
It's easy to write songs about negative stuff. It's really hard to write songs positive. We try. Yeah. Most of our stuff has a positive.
Yeah,
positive.
You know, sometimes you gotta paint an uplifting painting. You know what I mean? You just do. It's you know, to sound cheap, whatever, however the muse muses you, you know, it's just one of those deals. Very cool. Well, you guys primarily play in that kind of neck of the woods of Nashville and surrounding states and whatnot at this point, right? You said you mentioned Florida a couple times.
We played Daytona twice, and then Atlanta, we played there a couple times.
Nice.
Right now, we got some stuff coming up. Bristol, Tennessee, coming up pretty soon. And then we're shooting for Chattanooga, Knoxville. Spreading out a little bit more. So we've got some stuff lined up.
That's awesome. I remember being a little kid, and I was with my dad on a business trip in Bristol, Tennessee. And I went into a shop, and I was such a nerd. I used to collect paper money from all over the world. And anytime my parents' friends went somewhere, they had to bring me some money. It was for my collection. And in Bristol, Tennessee, I bought, they were so cool. They were Confederate checks,
That's
canceled
cool.
checks from like, you know, back in the day, 1862 or whatever. They were the prize of my collection. I'm real excited. That's my only Bristol, Tennessee story.
Yeah, that's funny.
But you guys are going to have a better one. You're playing a festival or something there. How cool is that? You know? Now, besides playing festivals, you had mentioned that the difficulty.
Yeah, I mean that's really the gist and the whole
be
point
cool,
of being in those festivals is to
so
maximize your face time.
So
I mean,
many places.
You're talking
that's
about
cool.
we can play a
yeah,
bar
it's,
and
it's good.
You know, or a small
Chad,
venue, hit 300 or 400 faces. Play a festival, you got chances of hitting thousands with one set. So it's definitely a better and it's more advantageous for you to get more followers and more new fans and what have you.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, I monitor all of our. I mean,
whenever
I scour
play,
the web daily, and I monitor all of our social media, all of our Spotify plays, our Apple Music plays. I keep up with those numbers. Yeah, and every time we play a show, there's a spike, and so that's you know, there's. You know, playing live is where it's at. I mean, you can be in the studio, you can put out the greatest albums ever, but if you're not out there hustling and on the stage and putting that show in front of people, chances are you're not going to go as far as you would like to go.
Right. No, it's very true. It is very true. I in my world, I don't like working with galleries per se because I don't like giving big chunks of my sales away. You know what I mean? And that's how that, you know, for painters, it's like a Spotify or something. You ain't getting the giant chunk of the pie. And I don't like it, but I do work with them sometimes because you have to keep out there. You got to keep stuff out there. Chad's absolutely right. Even in the art world, nothing sells. It sells so much easier and better if people can see it and have
right.
it in front of them. You know, I'm sure people go online and buy Ferraris, you know, but if you take one for a test drive, you probably good chance you're taking that home. You know, that's just how it is. So I don't know. But yeah, I'm glad you said that, Chad, because I was just going to ask you, what do you guys have, like a 16-year-old girl with a cell phone? Because you guys are really good on social media and keeping up with all that stuff, you know?
That's mostly Chad. I help distribute. We all share stuff, but Chad comes up with some really good stuff. I come up with some stuff sometimes, but Chad's the lead on just about everything that gives us traction. Kudos, Chad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe the other three guys will see this interview and actually sit through the whole thing and take note. Maybe.
Yeah. I know my social media morning is 3 hours. You know, I my day is going to start, my physical day is about 6 o'clock because I get up early. Okay. And I start my social media at 3. I do a blog and whatnot. And I just know every day, 7 days a week, that first 3 hours is taken up by that. And you got to do it. You got to do it because the car lot mentality where you want to sell cars, you just open a lot and have a bunch of cars and people walk on the lot and buy a car. That may work to a degree, but no, man, you got to engage with people and excite them and you know.
I think one of the things that helps us, some of our posts, I've noticed, we don't do them a lot, but I posted something yesterday about, it was just words. It says, date yourself and tell me when what the first movie you saw in the theater was. It was like, we got like 60 hits in the first half day or whatever. You know,
absolutely.
You know, they want to talk about stuff. They want to talk about themselves a lot and tell us what they're going through. So we, you know, because they want to be able to relate to us and what we're doing. You know, so we got to hear from them. They've got to tell us what they're doing. We tell them what we're doing. You know, you want to have some kind of a conversation back and forth. We've got a lot of fans that will direct message us, and we'll talk to anybody we can and get back to them. Chad gets back to them.
That's cool.
You know, you got to keep
it. Remember. It wasn't always that way. You know, I had some pretty good ideas for the new Rush album that was coming out in 6 months, but I had no way to get a hold of any of those guys. You know what I mean? All I knew about that band was if I read about it in Guitar Magazine or something, or liner notes on an album.
Yeah.
That's it. There was no Instagram or any of that.
Circus Magazine.
Or something. Yeah, Circus Magazine was one of them. Man, how many times could they have Eddie Van Halen on the cover of that?
That and Paul Stanley seemed to be on the cover quite a bit too, until Guns N' Roses came around.
And
it changed.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. It's funny because, you know, I remember that stuff. And the other funny thing, Steve, just so you know, when you were talking about putting those engagement posts out and whatnot. I did spend 30 seconds there trying to remember what the first movie I saw was.
Yeah, good. It worked.
I'm coming up with Star Wars. I'm thinking when I was a kid, you know what I mean? But there had to be something. Did Superman come out before Star Wars?
That was 79, I believe.
Oh, okay. It's
about the same time, though. I mean, E.T., Superman.
King Kong and Jaws were out at the same time. I remember going to the drive-in and seeing that.
I saw drive-in. Oh. That movie, my dust. You remember that movie?
Who was going to take a kid to see that? Jeez, I had nightmares for a week.
I was seven when I saw Jaws.
Jaws wasn't that scary. The part of Jaws that was scary is when, what's his face? Richard Dreyfuss was in he's checking out that boat and that head comes out of the hole. Jeez,
yeah. Absolutely. I knew that's where you were going, It scared the crap out of me. I couldn't, when I was seven, and I went home, and for the next month, I couldn't leave my feet dangling over the bed at night when I went to bed.
No, a shark under there, a bed shark.
Oh, yeah.
Bed shark would get you. The bed shark. We used to believe that.
That's what it was,
Anyway.
Good time.
I used to be worried. We'd go to, at the time, my dad had a gig in Kansas, and so there was no ocean, there was no sharks, but we went to a lake all the time. And I was nervous about going, and he's like, sharks don't live in fresh water, son. I'm like, Dad, fish are always evolving. Maybe one evolved to live in this lake.
Yeah, water shark. I mean,
Never should have taken me to that movie.
Freshwater shark, yeah.
It's not as bad as the bed shark, though. I get it.
Bed shark's pretty good. Yeah,
I'm telling you.
Scared the crap out of me.
Crazy. Well, guys, thank you so much for taking time to be on the show and whatnot. I really appreciate it. You're a fantastic band.
Thanks. Yeah, we appreciate you having us.
Yeah, anytime, anytime, man. Just come on, and we'll talk about stuff, whatever. I don't care. You guys are great. And we were talking about where they're going to be playing, folks.
Yeah, some of those TBAs are in the works. Yeah, they are happening, but they haven't been finalized yet, so we can't really release all the information.
Loonville, Ohio. Holy moly. It's happening, baby. It's happening.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Yeah, and you're right. You got to have the T's crossed and the I's dotted.
Big things are coming.
Absolutely. The best thing, though, folks, is we have links, clickable links, down in the description here. Of course, follow, share. If you find a band you like, let your friends know, because they like the same type of stuff. That's why you're friends, common interests. But as always, social media is great. If a band has a website, look at their website, because that's where everything's going to be, always, you know? And while you're there, for $20, that's too cheap, guys. You need to raise that price. I'm kidding. I'm just telling you. That beach towel is too, that with the clown.
Oh, the beach killer, yeah.
That's too cheap, too. But, yeah, that pint glass, man, that's a cool. You got to get this stuff, folks. If you have a home bar, you know, you got to have this kind of stuff. You want your bar to be cool.
Yeah.
I would, at least.
And then bring it to a show and we'll sign it for you.
There you go. There you go. Very cool. Well, you guys keep doing what you're doing, you know, and if you ever wake up one morning and you're like, I don't know if I can do it. Just know that you have one fan. There's a cat in South Florida that I'm glad you guys are doing what you're doing, because I love your music. It's fantastic.
Well, we appreciate it.
I bet you there's, I'm not the only one. There's a bunch of people out there. And you guys at home, remember, you know, I don't know what to tell you. I know I'm the wise old guy, but the world's weird. You know what I mean? My advice, try to keep your head down best you can. Be kind, be patient. You know, if you are traveling on an airplane, lay off the booze before you go to the airport.
Right.
Your mission is... to avoid being a Karen in a Karen video. I find them hilarious to watch.
Sad.
But it is sad. And you ain't, when the cops show up, you ain't going to win that fight, man. You're going to jail.
Those are the dumbest videos. What did I do wrong? You were speeding. What did I do wrong? You were speeding. What did I do wrong? You know, and they just go on and on and on. I didn't do nothing. Yeah, you did.
Oh, man. It's crazy. And they're on YouTube. Maybe it's just the algorithm that's on mine, but they come up a lot. I'm like, geez, Louise, are people this stupid?
I get the same 5 commercials all the time.
I've been seeing a lot of Walmart commercials on Facebook lately. And it's almost like they're worried about all this negative press that's been in the news the last couple of years. I don't want to get into a big thing, folks.
We're good.
That's
bad. Just be cool. And be patient, you know, and do the best you can. Put the shopping cart back into the corral. You know, if we all do shit like that, it's a better world. You know what I mean?
No, I do want to slap that guy that goes around and puts people on his videos and about not putting their carts back. I don't know why he bugs the crap out of me.
I get what he's doing, but
he's just doing it to troll people.
Exactly, and all you're doing is having some... I'm amazed. Number one, I don't have a TikTok. I think I'm too old. I don't know. You guys might have a TikTok. You probably do. I probably should have one. I don't have a phone, though. And my wife told me you have to have a phone to have a TikTok. She has a phone, but we ain't doing them. Anyhow, there was a guy on there, and I guess they prank people. And some guy, I just saw a video, and the guy's going to prison for 30 years or something. I'm like,
there you go.
For likes on TikTok, you're going to be in the big house,
yep,
in gang fights and stuff for likes on TikTok. You know what? I don't get it, but
yeah.
You know, maybe I'm not. I have friends. Maybe I'm not that desperate or something for attention. You know, I mean, it's just sad. It's just sad, really.
They want to make money quick.
Yeah, I guess they do. It's monetized, maybe. But how much can the Yinya make? I don't know. To me, if I was going to do 30 years in prison, I'd expect a big check for that chunk of my life. You know what I mean? It would have to be millions and millions of dollars. I don't think it's TikTok money. But
well, OnlyFans aside, if you do anything other than that, it's still some big money. There's a YouTuber that I follow, the Outdoor Boys. He just decided after 12 years, he pretty much made enough money. But he did a family-friendly outdoor thing with his boys, and he just went on yesterday and had 12 million hits in less than 24 hours of him saying goodbye because he wasn't going to do it anymore.
That's impressive. I love those outdoor shows. Me and my dog watch those, you know, and we kind of look at each other going, yeah, Alaska in the winter. We can handle it. No problem. Yeah, we could do that. My wife's just laughing in the other room going, you two, there's no way in hell you could do half of what that guy's doing. You're going to build a cabin? She's probably right. She's always right. Well, hey, folks, that wraps it up for us. Have a good one, everybody. We'll see you next time.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.